Smart agriculture. What will the farm of the future look like? The Western Association of Directors of Agriculture is pondering that, along with the pressures of trade talks and what to do about data, getting it and mining it. We sat down with Vince Kimura of Smart Yields to talk about how to do data better as part of that conference. Hawaii is hosting the event on Kauai.
The theme of it is really fascinating because it aligns with what we're doing and we've been doing for the last 3 years as a startup, focusing on data. More data you have, more insights, better decisions, more confidence. And I think that's really what we've seen, especially from a larger impact perspective for the state of Hawaii. When you think of goals like doubling food production or supporting more of our local agriculture here, we need more information, more data-driven insights to then make better decisions. And so the theme of it is essentially machine learning and artificial intelligence for data. And how we can, what's going on nationally, what's going on locally, and then what can we as a region and as a country kind of come together from all the different states and provide more support for our agriculture. There is a perspective of qualitative versus quantitative data. And we think of satellite imagery, it's basically an image. So you still need reference points on the ground to validate the colors, the NDVI colors of that, to really figure out what's going on. The other thing, too, obviously, is time of day and overcast factors that in as well and skews it. So it's not a real-time data point. However, it's a great data point because we have decades and decades of historical information. The question now is how you can take that information, how you can take what's happening on the ground in microclimates, which is what we focus on, and then really kind of give that to these small growers because Hawaii, for example, of our 7,000 registered farms, essentially majority of them are all small, two-plus hectare farms. So it's a really big challenge, especially since most of these folks are not using data like satellite imagery.
And so how do we help them? How do we help our farmers?
So I'm a big fan. Obviously, we talk about data all the time. And I think when you think about numbers and you think of a mission like that, one, data doesn't lie, but it's all about perspective of data and how much more data you can gather and truth tell. So that's why we've kind of taken a very collaborative approach of working with multi-stakeholders and saying, okay, what data do you have? What do you see? What do we recognize? How can we all agree or agree to disagree? And if we disagree, great. Now let's find more data to prove or disprove some of these hypotheses that we have. I think when you want to double food production in the state, you need to start somewhere. You need a baseline because that way you can actually measure something. And, I think the one thing that resonates really well, especially with some of the problems we've been having, both in access to land for our farmers, access to capital for our farmers, or even labor, which is a huge issue, both nationally and internationally. We don't have enough farm workers. So who's going to actually go out there and toil in the fields under the hot sun? Who's going to do all this? And we have a really big challenge where we think, it's many folks, not just us, where by bringing all the data together, aggregating this information, and sharing it, and having this very kind of transparent approach, we'll hopefully come up with new solutions or new ideas based on proven concepts. And a lot of that stuff has already been done in Europe. The Europeans have done a lot of this. They've had many more generations to do this, which is why when you look at their agricultural systems and focusing on small farms and farmers markets, it's really good. Their food safety issues are not as relevant as we have today. They're focusing on, food that's produced within, 50 miles from the farm. And it's really all about kind of creating that value chain system for these small farmers to then sell their produce and wares to, end users at a higher profit margin because it's not going to spoil as fast. It's a higher quality, so you're not comparing it to going to Costco and buying huge bulk of things. And I think for an island community like Hawaii, it's a perfect kind of use case because we have more microclimates and macroclimates than anyone else in the world. We have been and will always be this great R&D testbed. So one of the things we were talking about at this WASDA meeting is how can Hawaii play an active role in being this great gathering place as Oahu has always been, and bringing the minds together and sharing it and then saying, okay, we're going to come back here and we're going to share this information and we're going to improve on it. And we're going to have a lot of failures, but as long as we have data to figure out what is going on, we're really going to be able to kind of push through some of these challenges.
Well, I know just as being part of the media, I've had frustration trying to get my arms around, our farmers. How many farmers do we have and what's this industry worth? Let's say whether it's a lava inundation and I want to find out about the papaya farmers, you know, there just always seems to be this void of data.
Yeah, we see that across the board. I think, you know, when you look at a lot of the silos of information, that's one of the challenges. When you hear about a lot of different groups on the higher level kind of creating data officers, it's great because they're actually looking at what's going on, putting metrics on these things. So that way then they can disseminate all the information to all the different, you know, groups and say, hey, you know, how do we work together more? How do we use this information? How do we improve efficiencies? And of course, when you think about on the field, the efficiency component is hugely, it's terrible. And that's one of the reasons why it's really hard to get more and more folks to want to go into agriculture. So that's the other reason why where all this data is moving towards. It's really about labor. You know, there's a component in terms of changing whether you believe in climate change or not. And I think I take a more of a business approach to that where I just look at the facts. You know, the last 5-10 years, we can't farm the way we've been doing. So again, whether you use that term or not, it doesn't really matter. But the fact is we've got to change how we're doing things. You know, Einstein said this great quote where, you know, you can't solve, you know, today's problems with the same thinking that you used to create them. So how do we get out of the box, as everyone likes to say, and really focus on, okay, well, you know, how can we leverage proven concepts and then tweak them for this?
Right. So what does the modern farmer look like?
Exactly. The modern farmer in my mind and many others is, you know, some young, you know, female or male who is interested in drones and interested in computer science and games. And it's like, you know, saying, hey, go do that. But look at agriculture as another industry. And I think, you know, when you see what the corn folks are doing, the big commodity crops, it's great. The difference is when you take that technology and try to right size it for a small farmer, it just doesn't work. You know, the simple thing is economics. None of these farmers will pay for it.
And then what flies in Colorado may not fly here.
Absolutely. I think Colorado is another really fascinating kind of center of excellence because of the challenges they have, especially around water and everything from the Colorado feeds everything west and then south. So if you just looked at irrigation management, water management, and what California is doing in terms of building desalination plants along the Colorado River to reduce the salinity levels down to, you know, how everyone can kind of take a more effective and sustainable approach to water use, it's huge because everyone is planning for another major drought. The question is when.
Right. And there's more threats, you know, with the climate change, you know, and other economic and political changes
Yes.
in the wind.
Yeah, trade wars.
Yeah, so talk about that.
I think that's the other thing, too, is I kind of look at things, especially doing problems, as a great time to reassess what's going on and how we can ensure that the next 30 to 50 years, we've hedged some of that risk. So, you know, given this political climate with what's going on in a lot of our commodity crops, it's a great time because there's never a better time than really when people are really hurting the most. But it also is a great time to say, okay, we've got to do some really big, drastic changes. And I think, you know, it starts at the director and commissioner level for each state's agriculture. It's saying, okay, here's your challenges. We see it all. How can we work together? Instead of looking at your own little backyard, how can we work as a region or as a nation? Where, you know, it's really about haves and have-nots in this case. And it starts with looking at, okay, you've got this, we need this. How can we work together? How can we get this cost down? How can we do more food production in the United States, you know, and less from imported?
Well, I would think that this administration would be open to that just because, you know, the governor does want to be able to increase our resiliency and grow our food production, right?
Yeah. I think the great thing that I see in this administration in the state is that, you know, we're tackling energy as a big, big component. And, you know, there's this great, you know, Nobel Prize winning laureate who talks about the nexus of energy, water, and food. And the simple thing about it is, you know, you got to solve mall, but it starts with energy. And when you think about taking our wasted products, and we have so much, we're working on a project now in Waianae on taking wasted mangoes. And because of the supply and demand, because of all these small, you know, obachans, or these very large old trees that are great producers, but they come online at the same time and they have nowhere to sell their off-grade products. So what does it do? It literally goes to the pigs, it goes to the chickens, and it goes to waste. And so folks like over at Kahumanu are doing amazing things with their food hub, but they need help. They need folks, you know, like these manufacturers do these amazing mango cookies or mango bonbons like Latour, or folks like Maui Brewing and Lanikai Brewing who want to source local produce. But you've got components of quality and quantity and orders, right, to make that, you know, scalable. And then, of course, the big thing is food safety. And that's really where data comes into play, supporting these regional farmers, helping them all together. You know, Smart Yields first launched as kind of a real technology sensor company, but we quickly realized that, you know, in order to do this, we can't just focus on every single farmer. We have to focus on our entire region, our entire state, our entire, you know, populace, because that's how it all works together. You hedge risk that way. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, when you look at all this data, well, we shouldn't have a problem with labor in Hawaii. I mean, this is paradise here. So how do we retool our populations of food insecure? And that's really what, you know, my presentation is going to focus on, is let's look at data that we don't typically look at. Let's look at the food insecure populations that use SNAP benefits, our homeless population, our veterans within the homeless population, and they're able-bodied. Well, one thing, too, is they all want to eat. So when you reference great examples like Wolfing, the worldwide organic farmers, and how they do their structure, or Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, those are great frameworks that we can leverage and use to kind of see, okay, you've got this region, you know, you've got folks that need jobs, they need food, they need a place to stay, a temporary housing. Well, then how do we train them and give them the tools where they can support in a regional way, and then go to other regions and support it? I think what Hawaii's done really well in terms of reviving our cattle industry, here's a great example of this too, you know, with mobile slaughterhouses and things like that, trying to get more of the actual value production done locally versus sending it back to California and then back over to Hawaii, which is really silly. But it's all about numbers. It's all about costs. So if we can create more, you know, mobile processing facilities, you know, less on permanent infrastructure, because we have a lot of state land, we have a lot of private land and infrastructure that's basically gone to waste. So talking to those other food hubs and cooperatives and saying, hey, do you have any excess, you know, time and processing time and things like that? And they said, yeah, but we need labor.
Such are the challenges facing agriculture today. And how do you solve the issues of labor? Artificial intelligence, robotics. We've been talking to Vince Kimura with Smart Yields about the Western Association of Directors of Agriculture Conference, Rotan Koi, and they will be tackling those issues all this week.